Gail mentioned too in the children's lesson. Today we do remember the baptism of our Lord. And so our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 22, and also deals with the baptism of Jesus. And that can be found on page 858 of your pew Bible. Luke 3, verses 15 through 22. We rise for the reading of the gospel. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the things that Herod had done, added this to them all. He locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit ascended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, before you go out to, get the wood and start the fire, I will explain to you what the title of this sermon means. If you just listen to the sermon, you'll hear what I mean by the fact that Jesus is the greatest sinner on earth. Okay? When the disciples were going about the process of replacing Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, they wanted a man who had witnessed all of Jesus' work. And what this does for us in knowing that is that it shows us the beginning and the ending of Jesus' earthly public ministry. Peter talks about it in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. He says, "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness of his resurrection." So we see from this passage that for the early church, the way they saw Jesus' earthly ministry, and the way we should see it as well, is that Jesus' ministry begins at his baptism, and it ends with his ascending into heaven. And so our gospel for today tells us about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his baptism. All of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they tell us about Jesus being baptized by John. The evangelist John doesn't really talk as much about the baptism in his gospel, but he does tell us about John the Baptizer, who testifies about the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove and descending upon Jesus. So either directly or indirectly, all of the Gospels and the book of Acts talk about the baptism of Jesus. During this season of the church that we're in, the season of Epiphany, we consider all of the things that God has showed his people through Christ's earthly ministry. And it's not too hard to figure out what God wants us to see in today's gospel. We see the heavens open. We see the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove. And we hear the voice of the Father come from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, that should get our attention, shouldn't it? It's not every day that God opens the skies and proclaims something to us. It's not every day that the Holy Spirit takes on the form of a dove and lands upon someone. I think I'm safe to saying that we don't ever see this in any other time in the history of the world. Think about it. Our gospel tells us that the crowds have gathered. They're wondering if John is in fact the Christ, the Messiah. They're ready. All of the prophecies have come true. All that's left is for the Christ to actually show up. John is out there in the wilderness saying, "No, I'm not him, but he is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord." And then one day, the Lord does show up. Jesus comes to the Jordan and says to John, "Baptize me." And then after the baptism is when the skies open. The Holy Spirit comes down. The voice is heard. Now, is that an epiphany or what? And the wonderful thing about this epiphany is that we get to see our Lord and Savior beginning his public earthly ministry. It's the beginning of his battle to take back what is rightfully his. We know from Genesis that God created all things, that all things belong to him. And when he created humanity, Genesis tells us that he told Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." With those words, God establishes humanity as his stewards over all of creation. Everything was made perfect. And then the devil spoke through the voice of the serpent. Did God really say? God had given to Adam and Eve everything but that one tree. And yet, Satan is able to convince Eve that, you know, maybe God's holding something back. That maybe he doesn't really have your best interest at heart. And he leverages that seed of doubt until both Adam and Eve lose confidence in God. And so they ate the fruit. And on that day, the universe was changed forever. The relationship between God and man was closed. The relationship between man and woman was closed. A wave of sin cast over the universe, like a wave sweeping over an island. Mankind had turned the keys of the kingdom over to the devil. And from that time on, our enemy and his allies have had their way with us. We talk about that in the order of holy baptism, when it says, the word of God teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be forever lost unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. In the Christmas season, which we just celebrated, we see God's action to infiltrate the world to take back what's rightfully his. He enters the world as a baby. He comes as one of us. He steps onto the battlefield as that baby in the manger. And then he grows up to be a man. And now, here at his baptism, God the Father proclaims his intention to all who are there, with John the Baptizer at the Jordan. We can get excited about this epiphany, and rightfully so. Jesus is on the move. The people who were there to witness this have seen the inauguration of Christ's public ministry. The one who they have waited for has finally arrived. Strike up the band. Break out the fireworks. Let's celebrate. But there are other eyes, too, at that epiphany. There are those who are dreading that day. God had made a promise way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise your heel. The servants of the enemy also see this epiphany. They are the servants of the one who's in danger of having his head crushed. For these servants, the servants of the evil one, it's time to go on red alert. Christ is about to start his offensive. Although we don't read about the account of the temptation of Jesus until Lent, it actually takes place right here after Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness to do battle with the enemy. And the devil wastes no time in hitting Jesus with every resource that's at his disposal. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Hebrews to say that Jesus is the one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This teaches us that Jesus endured every temptation that the devil and all of his enemies have used against any person, in any place, at any time. The devil pulled out all the stops because he knew that if he can get Jesus to sin just once, the plan of salvation would fall into ruins. This sentence from Hebrews tells us that although Jesus was tempted as we are, he is different than we are. He did not sin. This means that Jesus' baptism is opposite of our baptism. We entered our baptism covered in sin, and we leave the waters of baptism covered in God's righteousness. Jesus entered the waters of baptism in righteousness and left those waters in sin, our sin. At his baptism, Jesus began to carry the burden of our sin. As we also pray in the order of holy baptism, through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. As Jesus went down into the water of holy baptism, he was the only perfect person on the earth. And as he came up out of the water, he was the greatest sinner on earth. Not because of his own sin, but because of our sin. He took upon himself the sin of every man, woman, and child who has ever lived or who ever will live. He carried all of our sins upon himself. We see in this passage that God the Father, God the Holy Spirit acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus as he takes our sin upon himself and clothes us in his righteousness. When he had been baptized and he was praying, then it is that we see the heavens open. The Holy Spirit come down like a dove and alight upon Jesus. And the heavens open. And we hear the words of God, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit puts in this rare appearance and comes in a physical form. The Father is pleased with the Son. Jesus is one of the Holy Trinity. And even though he is the only one of the Trinity that takes upon flesh, dies upon the cross for our sins, here in this passage, we see all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, actively involved in opening up the way of heaven to us. At his baptism, Jesus becomes a marked man. He's marked as a target by Satan's temptation. And he's marked as a target by God's wrath. He's marked as the one who would open up heaven for all believers. Jesus endures the full fire of Satan's temptation. He endures not only the temptation in the wilderness, but Satan never stops trying to tempt Jesus. He even tempts him through his friends and through his followers. Jesus endures temptations that we never will. His perfect perseverance under Satan's fiery temptation was part of the mission to open up heaven for each and every one of us. In spite of the fact that Jesus never sinned, he becomes the target of God's wrath, a wrath so severe that Jesus finally has to cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus suffers the original baptism by fire in our place. He fulfills John the Baptizer's prophecy of baptism by fire in order to open up heaven for us. He blazed the trail through death that brings us life. He conquered death and rose from the dead. And through his triumph, the way to heaven is opened up to each and every one of us. Here at his baptism, Jesus takes upon himself the burden of our sin. As our substitute, he carries out God's plan perfectly. The mission that Jesus began at his baptism and completes upon the cross and at the empty tomb was successful. He has opened up heaven to every baptized child of God. He offers to join us to himself through holy baptism. He opens up the way to heaven. The Holy Spirit gives us the faith to receive that offer. And God the Father adopts us into his family by that faith. And so when that day comes, when we leave this world. The heavens will be open to us. The angels will carry us home, and we will hear the Father say to us, "You are my beloved child, and in you I am well pleased." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'll receive our offering.